Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. What a joy, what an opportunity to be here again at Trinity. It's a blessing. It really is starting to feel like home away from home. I really appreciate being here and the pastoral staff and all the individuals that I get to meet. You really bring joy to my heart. Your pastor is dear to me. I believe that there are some people in this world, they exist just to make other people better. And just being around him has made me a better person, a better preacher. Just the way I approach the gospel, and that's one of the reasons why I'm very nervous to preach here also, because I know I know how wonderful he is with the word of God, but it is indeed a pleasure, and I'm already feeling the static and the heat from everyone that my wife did not come with me this time. I texted her between services, and I was like, listen, I don't know if they'll allow me to come back unless you're with me, and so the very next time we do come, we're already putting in our plans that she'll be here with me as well. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you know, I have the opportunity just to share your goodness, your good news, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that your Holy Spirit will have his way today in this service. This is a moment, Lord, a special moment, God, that I take seriously, that God, your heaven could kiss earth right now. And so have your way in this moment. I invite your kingdom to invade our kingdom, invade our hearts and our minds, rearrange our priorities. Let your will be done, Lord, today. And so we thank you, God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My introductory text is going to be taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. The title of my sermon is Working Out My Weakness in Parenting, and just the power of God and the gospel and how it actually helps me in terms of my weakness as a parent. This is what it says. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It is the power, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is actually the power. That word power in Greek is dunamis. It's the dynamic power, the strength, the ability. But it doesn't stop there. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the dynamic ability for God unto salvation. When I was a child, every time I thought of the word salvation, to me, it meant heaven. But the word salvation is soteria, and it actually means to rescue, to deliver, to preserve. And so along those lines, salvation would also mean to heal, to rescue someone from sickness, to rescue something or someone from decay. And so here it is that the good news of Jesus Christ represents God's dynamic power to rescue, to heal, and to deliver. So with that being said, it also lets us know that those who need to be rescued don't have the ability to rescue themselves. See? And that's where this concept of weakness comes in. There's no need for me to be healed unless there is a sickness. And if I don't have the power to take care of that sickness myself, I'm in need of someone to rescue me. I've learned to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, the actual good news, because the Bible says in Romans 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And it's interesting, the contrast between verse 17 and verse 18. Romans 1 verse 17 says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals God's righteousness. And yet sin also reveals his wrath. There's a reason why you and I are weak or unable to handle certain situations, which kind of brings me to my text, especially when it comes to parenting. It says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. And this is a text that I love, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 and verse 28. And most people know Romans 8, 28, and God works all things together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to purpose. I have an appreciation for that verse now, but growing up with my dad, I didn't like that verse because that was his verse. That was the verse he leaned on. That was the verse he lived with. But I didn't understand that verse. God works all things together for good. And I didn't understand why he would say that after they break into the car and steal the radio. My dad would say, well, God will work all things together for good. When they break into the house and something happens, well, God will work all things together for good. If you lose your job, well, God will work all things together for good. And so as a child, I didn't like that verse. Because I'm waiting for my dad to wild out the way I'm wilding out because I can't believe this is happening. But there's something that he knew about God working all things out. And when I got older, I discovered that in the two verses that come before it in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. This is what it says. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, in my Bible, I underlined that word intercedes twice. He used it twice, and I underlined the word weakness. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. What's interesting about that is, guess what? I have a secret. God knows that you are weak. He's fully aware that there are certain things that you and I are not able to do on our own. In fact, the definition of the word weakness is to be feeble and frail, to be ill, to not be well. But within the context of parenting, it also means unable to cope or handle a situation. Are there any parents in here who have ever had to deal with the fact or a situation that you were unable to cope or handle well? I'm here to let you know that God is fully aware of weaknesses. Do you realize it's human to be weak? It's human for you and I not to have control over certain things. It's human for you and I not to be able to control time. It's a part of who we are. In fact, in your knowledge of yourself, knowing who you are and having confidence in who you are, I'm here still letting you know that as much as you know you, you still don't know you as much as you think you know you. And that's a part of being human. It's a weakness. You know, years ago, when I first started pastoring in Hempstead, I knew me. I know me, and I know what I like. I know my dislikes and so forth and so on. And I knew 10 years ago that my favorite dessert is apple pie. Good old-fashioned American apple pie. Don't mess with it the way grandma makes it. Leave it alone. Apple pie. And it was my favorite. Around that time, I was married for about 20 years. And if you would ask my wife what's his favorite dessert, it's going to be apple pie. Hands down. No doubt about it. I know this. Until about 3 years ago, I went over to someone's house for Thanksgiving. And when dessert time came, they brought out this thing called pecan pie. Never had it in my lap, never knew what it was all about. But this woman, she gave me a slice. She put it in the microwave for 12 seconds, then had vanilla bean ice cream on the side. And I said, Lord, have mercy. And when I ate that pie, apple pie moved to the side. And my favorite pie became pecan pie. I had no idea that I would change what my favorite dessert was. No, that's called weakness. I didn't realize that there was something else out there. And so from that day forward, I told everybody my favorite dessert is pecan pie. Then last year, a at the pantry at Hempstead Assembly of God, where I used to pastor, you know, there was a crushed box that was left there, and nobody wanted, no one to mess with it. And so my cousin, he picked up this crushed box. It had a pie in there, and he brought it over to the parson. He says, "Hey, do you want this? I saw this pie." And I said, "Absolutely not, because I know me. I know my favorite pie is pecan pie. I don't want anything done. No, get out of here, whatever." And I walked away, but then I did get hungry. So I went back into the kitchen. There was the crushed box. I opened it up, and the weird crushed-looking pie, and I just took a small little slice, just a small slice. Oh, my goodness. I could not believe it. One slice turned to two. Two slices turned to four. It was called caramel apple pie. I had no idea that such a pie existed. See, weakness. I was sure about who I was. I was sure about my likes and dislikes, but I was still limited even with what I knew about myself. Weakness. I'm here to let you know, as much as a great parent you know, there are things you still don't know. There's things that you still can't do. It's weakness. And the best part about this, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Lord is there to help you in your weakness. In those moments that you can't cope, in those moments that are outside of your control, some of the biggest mistakes I've made in life, some of the biggest mistakes I've made in my marriage, some of the biggest mistakes I've made with my children was trying to act like I wasn't weak when I was. And to come to realize that God already knows there's things that you can't handle. And because of the work of the cross, because of the empty tomb, he's already made himself available, and he promises that when those situations happen, he's there to intercede for you. My wife and I, we got married. We've been married now for 25 years, almost 26 years. And when we first got married, I said, "Man, I want 8 kids." So letting you guys know, if that's your desire, you should let your wife know beforehand. And we tried and we tried. 3 years went by. We tried, we tried. And the doctor informed us that we were not able to have any children. See? Weakness. Out of your control. Not able to get what you want. And, you know, we dealt with it. It was something, it's a part of life and so forth and so on. And so we got a dog. And his name was Mr. Beans. And we treated that dog like our baby. That was our baby. He had his own room and everything. Now, here's the thing. You know, because we couldn't have children, we were thinking about fostering and da-da-da. And I went and I tried, and I was like, this ain't for me. I'm not down with this. Why? Well, because the state got to be all up in my business and fingerprinting and registry and checking my house. No, it's all right. It's all good. We got our dog, and we called it a day. But then one day, my wife, being a health food type person, she started picking at my Popeye's chicken, and I was like, "Wait a minute, what's going on here? Something moving." And then we went to the doctor, and they said, "Congratulations, you're pregnant." I said, "Won't he do it? That's my Jesus, yes." And we're excited, and I buy all the books that I can about pregnancy, and we take the dog out that room. We made that the baby room now, and it's all nice. We buying crib, and we all excited. Everything's going great because God answers prayer, and we're excited. And then one morning, I hear a scream in the bathroom. And my wife, being a nurse, recognizes what's happening. She says, "We need to go to the hospital immediately." And she kind of tells me what's going on. I'm like, "No, because I'm a man of faith. God would never do that to me. He would never allow this to happen. After all, we've given up. There's no way." And we're driving. We're getting to the hospital. And we're finally, we're looking on the monitor. There's no heartbeat. We lost our baby. I was absolutely crushed and devastated. Weakness. As much as you love, things happen. Weakness. Out of your control. You don't have the power. Weakness. And my wife, such a trooper, had to go through these certain procedures medically to make sure everything, you know, continues on. And she was there, and she was a rock, but I was a mess. A complete mess. All I wanted was a child. I wanted 8, but Lord, if I can just get one, and after serving you and giving things up, Lord, to please you, why would you? And I couldn't understand why he would allow that to happen. But see, I'm a pastor, and so at the time I was a youth pastor, and my youth were there, and I had to be strong. I said, "Oh, no, it's all right. Go on home. It's all right. Are you sure, Pastor Chris?" "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine," because that's what pastors do sometimes. Even through the pain and the heartache and sometimes the confusion, it's all right. And when they all left, I went two blocks down the street to where the church was. On the third floor was our prayer room, and I screamed at God for about 4 hours. I couldn't even tell you if that was a prayer time because there was so much screaming and sobbing. I was so angry that God allowed this to happen. He has the power to prevent it, and he allowed it, and I couldn't understand, and I'm praying, and I'm screaming, and I don't understand. And in the moment, in the midst of all that, I do remember something happening where I was overwhelmed with emotions, but then the Spirit of God started praying through me. And I couldn't understand it then. And I know I should have said, Lord, what are you saying? But I was just so overwhelmed with emotion. The Bible tells me that in these moments that the Spirit himself will intercede for us. In those moments that's out of your control, in those moments where you don't have the strength, the Bible says because of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God then can come alongside and begin to intercede for you. And I remember praying, and I remember in a moment, it just wasn't me praying, it was me just letting things go and the Spirit of God working things out. When I was all done, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I had to get myself together. Why? Because it was Sunday morning. I'm preaching at 9 for the first service. And so when I'm preaching, we done preaching, we give the altar call. I remember this side of the platform, there's people here giving their heart to the Lord. And on this side of the platform, there's a woman who needed a supernatural healing. And God healed her in this service. She got supernatural healed right there. And I was angry. Why? Because you healed her and my baby died on Friday. I couldn't understand. And then the Holy Spirit would begin to intercede in me again. Day after day and week and month, and God was working in me, helping me understand. I wish I can tell you that it happened overnight, but I'm here to let you know that God will intercede with you throughout a process of healing, and you wouldn't even know how or where, but the Bible promises, because of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is there to intercede when you're weak. Yeah. You know, one of the things I learned even throughout that process, instead of acting like as if I'm not weak, how about I invite the Spirit of God to intercede because I'm weak? And that's the beautiful, beautiful product of the gospel. That word intercede in the Greek, it simply means to obtain something for someone that they cannot obtain for themselves. When you and I are in that season, that position of weakness, there's certain things we can't do for ourselves, but the Bible says that the Spirit of God will intercede in those moments. Now, where I used to live and where I used to serve is this place called Planet Brooklyn. It's actually a borough of New York City. I used to live in what's known as East Flatbush, and there's a street called Flatbush Avenue, major street. And where this other major street, Nostrand Avenue, exists, when they come together, we call that place the Junction. And here's the thing, where the Junction is, how you normally do business everywhere else, that's not how you do business at the Junction. I'm a square, I'll tell you that right now. I do all my shopping on Amazon or at the mall. But at the Junction, it's a whole different world. And I remember the new Kobe Bryants came out. Those are sneakers, by the way. And they came out, and at the time, I wanted to get them, and I also wanted Clarks, but I only had $100. And one of my youth was with me, so we're going to the Junction. I go into the store. I see the sneakers that I want to buy. I said, how much are those? He says, about $95. Oh, okay. Wow, I'll take those. And the youth that was with me said, whoa. Pastor Chris, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to purchase, you know, the sneakers. He says, no, come here. And we walk outside, and he says, no, what are you doing? Why? No. Hey, listen, I can get you a good deal, but you just got to allow me to do what I do. It's got to be okay. Now, that's a risk, but I can't lie. I was intrigued, so I said, okay. And this youth that grew up in our church, I've known him all my life, all of a sudden, right before my eyes, transformed into this person I didn't know. He walked up into the store with swag, said, yo, my man, come here. Yo, how much for this? And the guy said, $100. He says, nah, I ain't paying that. At that moment, I'm thinking we all going to go to jail now. I didn't know you could tell the person who owns the store what you're not going to buy for what price? I didn't know you can do that. And so he said, I ain't paying that. I ain't paying for that. I ain't paying for that. And they start going back and forth, back and forth. I'm very uncomfortable because I ain't never seen this before. They're going back and then he goes, well, how much for them clocks? He says, $60. He said, all right. I'll take them both for $100. And I'm like, we really going to jail now. We're going to get arrested. And the guy goes, deal. I'm like, and I'm hurrying, putting the boxes in the bag. I give the man the cash. I'm walking out. I don't want to hear from the Holy Spirit because there's a part of me that feels that I don't know if this is righteous. And I'm hurrying home. I'm going down the street with this thing in my bag like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. Here's the thing. I need you to understand. I had somebody with me who understood the language, who understood the culture. He understood the situation. He was able to obtain something from me that I could not obtain for myself. There's things that you're going through, new experiences, things that you're dealing with. You don't have the strength or the power to handle it, but I'm here to let you know because of the gospel, you have someone who's able to intercede and obtain things for you, who's able to speak the words and speak the language, who has the power and the authority to move things that you cannot move and work on your behalf. He is the Holy Spirit, and it is the product. He is the product of salvation. A part of being weak is being able to lean on the Lord and allow him to do what he does. A part of being weak is being able to lean on the Lord and allow him to be who he is. And so now Romans 8:28 makes more sense. Because you're in situations where you're weak and he's interceding for you, Romans 8 verse 28 now says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love him, who are called according to the purpose. It is something that has been experienced. I know this because I've been through it. As crazy as the situation may seem, he will work it out. And so in Romans 8, he says, God will work all things together. That word work all things together, it's a Greek word called synergeo. Synergeo. It's where we get the word synergy from. Synergy, the interaction or cooperation of two or more substances or agents to produce a combined greater effect than the sum of their separate effects. In other words, God has an incredible dynamic way, a divine way of taking all the things that would make you cry and bring them together to work for the good. The Bible doesn't say all things are good, but the Bible says all things will work together for good. He has that power. And sometimes, dare I say, he's working without you and I even knowing about it. And so, you know, by the time this happened, my wife and I, we have a dog and a cat. I was afraid. I was traumatized. I'm not going to try to have any more kids. I told her. I just wasn't at that place. I didn't. And so we got a cat. Her name is Miss Penelope. So we had Mr. Beans and Miss Penelope. And I'm okay. And then I heard on the news, this woman in New Jersey was arrested because she was a foster mom of a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old boy. And the 13-year-old boy died because she only fed them applesauce and peanut butter. And when the 13-year-old died, instead of alerting the authorities, she hid his body in the freezer in the basement so that she can collect more checks. And when I heard this, I was furious. I was absolutely furious. Maybe it was because of experiencing recently the loss of a child. I just couldn't believe someone could be so evil, and I was so angry. And my dad asked me to preach at the church in Brooklyn the next day. And so when I went to preach, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, man, I was on fire. It was crazy. I was banging on the pulpit, and I would say, if there's anyone on the face of this earth that should be taking care of the fatherless and the widows, it's the church of God. I was screaming. I was kicking. I was dancing. It was anointed. It was anointed. It was crazy. It was hot. It was, yo, listen. I was like, y'all got rooms in your house, and you got money in the bank. You should be, brother. And I was like, man, woo. It was anointed. I was like, man. I said, yes. People came to me after church, Pastor Chris. I said, I don't know. It's a 19. I don't know. It was crazy. God is good. That Tuesday, I get a phone call in the office. We're looking for a Reverend Delmarge. I said, well, there's a couple of us. Do you know which one? We're looking for a Reverend Christopher Delmarge. I said, oh, okay, that's me. How can I help you? Well, Reverend Delmarge, it's come to our attention that you are interested in foster care. No. I am not. And right when I was about to tell her no, the Holy Spirit brought it right back. If there's anybody on the face of this earth that should be taking care of the fatherless and the widows, it's the Church of God. And I knew at that moment, if I told this caseworker no, I should never preach another sermon because it's all for show then. It's all lies. I don't really believe it. And so I said, yes. Oh, wonderful, Reverend. And she told me his name, Christopher Sweeter, and he's 14 years old, and yada, 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 yada. 8-week training program. The state's going to come in, and you have to register and be on the registry and fingerprint. Oh, by the way, Reverend, we here at the agency, we do everything in our power to keep families together. Would you be willing to take his 16-year-old sister as well? Jesus. If there's anyone on the face of this earth that should be taking care of the fathers and the widows, it's the Church of God. I don't even know how to be a parent to a newborn, much less a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old teenagers. Yes. Oh, wonderful, Reverend. Thank you so much. The 8-week course is going to start. And she's giving me all this information. I'm in a fog right now. And she says, okay, we'll call you. And I hung up. I didn't even talk to my wife yet. My wife is a nurse, a neonatal nurse at the ICU at Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn. And so I have to give her a call. Hey. How you doing? You won't believe what happened today. Guess what happened today? And I tell her, and she goes, is this a God thing? Yeah. She goes, oh, well, no, whatever God's will is, and so be it. I said, oh. Okay, Miss Holy, Miss Righteous, okay. Hang up the phone. This is a lot, so I need to go. I'm ready to go across the street to the bodega because I need a Sprite. This is a Sprite moment. I need a Sprite. And so I leave the office. I go down the stairs, and there's this boy hanging out, hiding in the bush, in the bushes by the church office. And I'm like, hey, come here. What are you doing? Come on, come over here. And he sees me, and I said, what are you doing over there? And he goes, this is where the boy goes. He goes, well, what did you say? And I said, excuse me? He says, what did you say? Did you get a phone call today? And I go, oh, God, no. Because I know this kid. See, his name is Pablo. And please don't judge me, but he's like the worst kid in the youth group. I mean, please don't judge me. You know, I would pray that, Lord, please don't let Pablo come tonight. I know, it's bad. But it's because he got into a fight every Friday night, every youth group. He was fighting and yada, yada, yada. But the woman on the phone said, Christopher Sweeter. But see, his street name is Pablo. That should give you insight as to what type of life he lives. You see, he got kicked out of his group home on the Thursday. One of our deacons in the church saw him living on the street, brought him home, brought him to church on Sunday, where he's actually in the service. And in the service, he heard the pastor say, if there's anybody on the face of this earth that should be taking care of the fatherless and the widows, it's the Church of God. On Monday, he goes to his caseworker and tells the caseworker, I think I found someone who would take me and my sister. I kid you not. True story. I had hair before they came into my life. So I go home because I have to tell my wife who the child is, because she knows him. And she goes, oh, okay, because I have something to tell you. See, 2 weeks before this, she received a phone call from her aunt asking if we would be able to take her cousin in from Jamaica who tried to kill his dad with a kitchen knife. And she said yes. But she was trying to find the perfect opportunity to tell me. And so when I tell her this, she says, well, no, you have a God thing. I have a God thing. And this is crazy. So just like that, I had a 14-year-old. I had a 16-year-old. I had a 17-year-old, a dog, and a cat. And 2 months later, my wife was pregnant. With my baby girl, Anna. And a year after that, she was pregnant with my son, Xander. God will work all things together for good to them who love the Lord. Now, to put it even more, you could see God's fingerprint on it. My name is Christopher. My wife's name is Christabel. My oldest daughter is Christina. Her brother, Pablo, his name is Christopher. The daughter that my wife gave birth to, that's Christiana. And then our youngest son is Christopher Jr. Chris, 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 and Chris. Because God does all things well. He will take the things that made us cry and work them together for his good and our good. Because that's what he does. That's what the gospel represents. Do you mind, can you put that picture up of the family? I'm going to squeeze in this other story because it's empowering. Those are my kids. And I got to squeeze this in. I'm looking at time. I got to squeeze it so you can see. See, that's Tina over here. That's the oldest one. And then that's Pablo Christopher Jr., and that's my son, Xander, and that's my daughter, Christiana, Anna. I have to put this in there. I didn't say this in the first service. On the right, you see the picture there. That's their mom sitting at the bottom. You see her? That's their mom. I gotta share this. Listen, real quick. Their mother, caring for them, left them in the house to go around the block to the corner to the store. When she came back, the house was in flames. So she thought her kids died in the fire. The father of the children actually took them and went to Philadelphia, telling her that all the kids died in the fire. As a result, she turned to crack cocaine and got hooked immediately. Years later, the father passes away in Philadelphia, but because they were mixed children. The father's Portuguese and their mom is African American. His mother didn't want anything to do with them. And so immediately put them in the system. They found out that there was family in Brooklyn, New York, and none of the family would claim the children. So they were in the foster care system for 8 years. When mom found out about them, she was too addicted to crack cocaine to do anything well, and so she ended up losing custody of the children. But God has a way of working things out. Do you realize that she discovered a man named Jesus, and her entire life got transformed, gave her heart to the Lord, no longer addicted to crack cocaine. And while all this was happening, discovered that her children, who are no longer little babies, have been raised in a pastor's home to serve in the military. And when we were able to bring them together, she looked at me and said, I never knew God would be able to do this for me. See, in her moment of weakness, The Bible lets me know that the Spirit of the living God was still able to intercede in such a way that would go beyond her wildest dreams, that her babies would be saved and that she would be saved. Isn't that crazy? Because he knows how to do all things well. Especially as parents, when we don't have the answers. I'm here to let you know, even as a mom, even as a dad, when you don't have the answers and there's weakness, the Spirit of the living God will still intercede on your behalf and move things that you can't move yourself. My son, my oldest son, Pablo, served in the Marine Corps, and he served in Iraq. He came home different. Too many things he saw, too many things he had to do. When he came home, I was the only one that was allowed to wake him up, because he'd wake up cussing and screaming and holding an imaginary pistol in his hand, pulling the trigger. That's how my son would wake up. It was a difficult time, but as a dad, I had to cry out to God because I was weak. I'd love to just touch my son and everything changed, but that's not what was happening. He started smoking a lot of weed and drinking a lot and becoming violent, and so he had to leave the house. I'm still loving on him, and I know what it's like to be a dad praying for his children, and sometimes you don't see what you're hoping to see, but he's still my baby. He's still my boy. I'm still loving on him, still believing God for him, and he had a girlfriend, and she got pregnant, and I know what it's like to have kids living a lifestyle that you might not agree, but he's still my child. I'm still my son, and I'm still believing God. Weakness. But allowing the Spirit to intercede. And then they lost the baby. I had never seen my son like this before. I was frightened. I was scared. I was weak. Hearing the sobbing on the phone and don't know what to do. And so she has to get the procedure. And when she gets the procedure, she leaves him that very day. I want nothing else to do with you. My son is alone. And I hear his voice, and I say, come home. And he comes home, and we give him the room right next to our bedroom, if I could be honest, because I was afraid that he would take his life. He had already lost a couple of his brothers in arms to suicide, and I've never seen him like this before. You could hear the sobbing through the walls. And so on this particular night, my wife was working at night at the hospital, and I could hear my son. And I go there. It's like 3 in the morning. And the TV is on. He's there in the corner on the couch. And he's sobbing. And this is what he says. He cannot understand why God would allow this to happen, knowing that all he's ever wanted was a child. It sounded so familiar. And he's weeping. He's crying. And I remember going to him, and I said to him, I know exactly what you're going through. And here's what I never shared with him or my wife. Because remember when I was telling you the Spirit of God was interceding, I should have asked the Lord what he was saying. Well, he told me 3 years before this happened. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, if he had allowed my child to stay alive, I would not have been willing to take in Pablo or Tina, because I'd be too concerned for my baby. And he's right. And I was ashamed. I was embarrassed that my own personal wants would prevent the will of God from happening in my life. So that's why I never told anybody until this moment, when the words that came out of my sons were almost identical to the words I felt years before. And I told him exactly what the Lord shared with me, that had my baby lived, I would never would have taken your sister and you. But if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a thing, because I never knew that I would be able to love the way I love you. And I love you. And I wouldn't change a thing. And he started to cry, and I started to cry, and there's tears and snot, there's tears, and I'm crying. And then I led him to the Lord. And my son gave his heart to Jesus that morning. It's crazy. And so he's living in Atlanta. He's a financial manager. Just bought a house last month. My daughter, she's done with the Marines. Now she's studying radiology. Listen, the very things that make your heart break and make your eyes water with tears, I'm here to encourage you today that God has a way of taking those things and turning them, synergio, for good. That is the product of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you, God, that in this moment I'm able just to share your love, your hope, your character with your children today. And many of us know what it's like to be in situations where we're weak. I pray, oh God, that after this word, we would not be afraid to admit it, but Lord, with expectancy, seeing you move, Lord, in our weakness. Your word declares that this is what you do, and you do it well. And so beauty for ashes, Lord. As you count the tears, I pray, oh Father, that joy would come in the morning, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Thank you for loving us in the most difficult moments. Thank you for not leaving us in the most difficult moments. Thank you, Lord, for working all things together. You keep your promises, Lord, and you love what we love. And so we thank you, God, today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.